You know, for about 4 nights now, I've been hoping to get lawn cutting done when I get home. I'm kind of glad I haven't, because this is a beautiful day when you compare to the recent days in past to get outside and mow. Now, I do have both lawnmower types. I've got the Real, which was the first one I bought for a Bermuda. And then after a couple seasons with the Rye, I mean, I would basically scalp the Rye even on the highest setting with the Real. So I went and got a rotary. And it's not self-propelled. You know, you gotta manually push it. And my neighbor said, well, if you're going to get a manual push, get those big wheels, because that makes your job a whole lot easier.
Yes, definitely.
And you had a couple other points about the wheel size if you're doing
if you get a self-propelled mower, then the wheel size doesn't matter because it'll pull itself. And when it pulls itself, it you don't get that sinking when you push on it, so you get a smoother cut anyway. Okay, so if I do like the push mower for the simplicity, but self-propelled mower, I think the main thing for a self-propelled mower is to get a good name brand, okay, like a Honda, Toro.
Now, Tim, being a lawnmower expert like you, how do they cut the designs into Chase Field that they do? What are they doing? Is the lawnmower set up different? Is the grass set different? Is it an optical illusion? How do they do that?
It's simple. Basically, you just run a real mower with a roller on the front instead of wheels. So the roller lays down the grass, and then that reel comes around, and it sort of stands it back up. But it's laying at the proper angle for that reel to grab it. So you're just seeing a little angle that's on the grass. A little forward push. So the real there's actually a company called RealRollers.com, and they're about $200. We sell the True Cuts. We can sell it as an option on there. So it's pretty cool. I get a lot of customers that really they're baseball fans and they really want to have that look.
Yes.
But I remember the first thing I learned when I went out and started doing landscape as a boy, and they said, no, you don't go in circles. You don't go in circles and stop in the middle. You go straight lines. You know. I'll always remember that day. Of course, you do straight lines because. With the real mower, you get that nice look. Yeah.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. As we bring Gail from Tubac into the conversation. Good morning, Gail.
Good morning. And first, let me say that I moved back to Arizona from Indiana, and I left all the grass there. So anyway, I have a real problem with our cactus down here in Tubac. We have this cactus. I'm sorry, I don't have the name of the cactus, but it's all mature and it looks like it's in the prickly pear family, but it's like long hands, each of the pads instead of the rounded pads like prickly pear. I don't know if John knows what that is.
Well, there are some, you know, there are a bunch of what we call prickly pear cactus in that family, in the Opuntia family, and some of them have a very long. Pad.
Okay.
One of those is called a cow's tongue prickly pear because it's a long pad that kind of comes to narrower.
Okay. That's kind of what this thing, these look like. And we have a fairly large backyard in sort of a natural area. And when we moved in, there were several of those, very large size. And in previous years, we owned the house for a couple of years, and then when I retired, we moved in for permanently in October. But we had seen that there were the little the fruits on it, so they'd been around for a while. Anyway, last year, I had to have about 3 or 4 of those removed because they had really bad black spots on them, and they were starting to disintegrate and collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I got that all cleaned out. And this year, we don't have the black spot, but the prickly pear seems to be collapsing from the top. It sort of bends down, and then all of a sudden, it just collapses at the base. Now, I'm not watering these at all. They're just in the natural area. I don't know, is there a disease? I've got some that are close to the house that I really don't want to lose. I don't know what to do.
Well, sometimes prickly pear, if there is a drought, the pad will shrivel. And get limp, and then you know if you try, you might try watering it some in our real dry season, like May and June. That might help. So, in July and August, when the monsoons kick in, you probably don't have a problem. The other thing that will happen is they also will get a lot of water in them and get heavy and actually fall off. You know, they will break off because they're just heavy. So might be one of those two things, but a little water in May and June when it's really hot and dry isn't a bad idea.
If you walk around in the desert, you never see a cactus that looks as good as one in a yard. I mean, they've got foliage underneath. You've got pack rats' nests under them. There's hundreds of years or tens of years of just debris laying underneath them.
Yeah, especially prickly pears. A lot of animals, different animals take advantage of, you know, that canopy that is a hiding place, a refuge, pack rats and birds and stuff to get back in there. So, yeah, and you know, when you're out in the desert and you go through those periods, of 3 months without any rainfall, that's how they adjust. Those pads and leaves will either fall off or disappear and shrink up and shrivel up. And then when it rains, they rehydrate, they swell up, and it's just the way nature defends itself. By the way, Jennifer, there is a lot of prickly pear fruit on the prickly pears between Payson and Phoenix.
Rosie on the House weekly newsletter. It's filled with timely gardening and home improvement advice, as well as special offers and discounts you can't find anywhere else. That's RosieOnTheHouse.com.